Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lincoln on Lending, David Lincoln.
Good to have you with us, everybody. Appreciate you tuning in. And I know we've got people all over. I mean, there's a lot of people that dial in, listen, but most of you are dialing or connecting via the internet. Very excited to have you with us. We've got Ken Markison on with the MBA. We'll be talking a little bit later in the broadcast of the Hot Topic segment about the TRID preparedness, what's going on. He just returned from the tech conference. And there's a lot of rumors running around about some of the technology firms being ready. So I'm not sure you can speak too specifically, but I'm sure we're going to get a good update from that. We're going to start off getting an update from the tech conference and then really diving into the specifics of TRID and all that's going on there. So we appreciate you guys tuning in and being a part of this broadcast. Again, this broadcast is created by mortgage professionals for mortgage professionals, and we're the proud recipient of the Progress in Lending Innovation Award. It's also, just want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, United Guarantee. And one of the people I want to give a shout out to, Susan King, who is really responsible for their partnership and sponsorship here at the radio broadcast. It came to me through Alice Alvey when we met a couple years up at one of the MMLA conferences. And Susan heard about the broadcast and took it back there and championed it from the grassroots up. And so she just got, I don't know if you know this, Alice, but the press release just came out. She just got promoted. She's now going to be the Western Region Manager, Vice President of the Western Region, and Amy Butler is going to be in for the Heartland. So not only is Susan changing regions, but she's going to have to change wardrobe because the temperatures are just a little bit different down there in Arizona. Congratulations to both of them. Want to call attention to United Guarantees, their support of FHFA's Affordable Housing Initiative with the MI guidelines for qualified borrowers that help moderate income families and individuals purchase homes that they can actually afford. The MI guidelines are consistent with the company's deep commitment to ensuring the mortgages that they protect on behalf of the lenders will be suited for the borrowers in all financial situations. UG's flexibility, including coverage of 95% LTVs, as well as they allow gift funds, and then there's a whole bunch of other things that they will allow you to do, so you need to get a hold of your UG rep, whether it be Susan or Amy. Get a hold of them, and if you don't know who your rep is, shame on you. Got to find that person out. Go to ugcorp.com. Check it out. Mortgage insurance underwritten by United Guarantee Residential Mortgage Insurance. Also, a special shout out to Velma, Virtual Electronic Marketing Assistant. They do a great job of getting the word out in our broadcast. And if you want to get your word out to the masses, you should connect with Velma at velma.com. Upcoming conferences, we have the MBA conference, the state and local workshop that's coming up April 13th through the 14th, and then immediately a junction to that, something close to Ken's heart, Ken Markison's heart, is the National Advocacy Conference, April 14th through the 15th, and that's also at the Capitol Hilton. Then May 3rd through the 6th, we have the Legal Issues and Regulatory Compliance Conference. Ken's got to be a busy guy during all this time. Get all his conferences out of the way so he gets to have fun the rest of the year. Yeah, right. With all that's going on, he's working himself hard. Anyway, also the National Secondary Marketing Conference will be at the Sheraton Chicago Hilton or the Towers. Again, that's going to be – now, that's interesting because that's a change. Normally, it's at the the legal conference is at the Sheraton Chicago Hotel and Towers. The secondary conference is still based at the Marriott Marquis downtown New York, right there in Times Square. So check those dates out, May 17th through the 20th. So appreciate you all being there, listening. A special thank you to Joe, Alice, and Andy, and all the regulars, Paul Mallow, who's on hold, as well as Sam Garcia. So we've got a full lineup. We're going to get into all that in just a minute, but we're going to start off by having Joe Farr explain why the markets today are giving back the gains that we had on Good Friday. So if it was Good Friday, we had a good market, is it a bad Monday?
Well, I told you in the pre-call I didn't know, so you were teeing me up. I have to admit, this is strange.
I was setting you up. It is weird.
Whatever's causing the MBS prices to fall is making stock market go up. I noticed early this morning the futures were down, as you might expect on the week jobs report on Friday, given that the stock market was closed on Friday. But it's turned around, and it's now up. It was down 7/10 early. It's up 9/10 right now. So, I guess to some extent, the stock market's gain has taken some from the MBS market. But right now, the MBS market's down 8/32. Still slightly better than they were when they started the day on Friday before the jobs report came out. But we have, like you said, we've given back most of that gain. It wasn't due to economic news today. The only thing that came out this morning was the ISM services, which came in pretty close, just a little bit below expectations and a little bit below last month. So it shouldn't have been a market-moving event, certainly not to the downside.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's get into talk about last week. It was one of those really kind of interesting weeks with a lot of economic data, and you are making some points in your notes that it's been missing more to the downside.
It really has. We've seen, of course, the jobs report was the big miss. Non-farm payrolls at 126,000, 250 was expected. It's the lowest level since December 13. Revisions to January and December also took away 69,000 jobs. So it was a big miss to the downside. And as you might expect, the market improved on the news. MBS prices improved about 12/32 on the announcement. May have seen an even bigger improvement were it not for a little bit of wage inflation popping up. Wages rose 0.3 in the month.
Yep.
And that is a little hotter than it has been. You know, there's some speculation as to what caused the big miss. Could be a combination of several things, like lower oil prices hurt energy sector jobs. The value of the dollar hurt manufacturing jobs. The weather had an impact on retail and construction jobs. So all those things are sort of transitory and may be one of the reasons we haven't seen a move based on that report that held. Combine the jobs report with misses on the ISM, Chicago PMI. Of course, ADP was a precursor to this, and got to give them credit. Mm-hmm. They kind of indicated the direction of job movement. They hadn't done that. They didn't do that last month. Construction spending, all of those were misses to the downside. Now, the nice thing was that pending home sales in February.
Yes, rose, very strong, very strong.
From January. So that was nice to see. So
yeah, 3.1% versus 0.5% they anticipated. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. So is the economy slowing down, I guess, is the question on everyone's mind. And some of this, I think, is transitory, and we might see it's much like last year where we had a weak first quarter that then spilled over into a stronger second quarter. And I'm kind of in that camp. I think we'll see that. Is this having an impact on the Fed and the Fed policy? I the consensus for the first Fed rate hike has shifted further out into the future, still in this year, but shifted further out. But I think the Fed, with what they've stated as being data dependent, they're not going to shift too strongly on the weakness of this jobs report and wait to see if it doesn't rebound.
Yeah. Well, we got the FOMC meeting minutes going to be released on Wednesday, so that gives us some. That'll give us some. I'm assuming that's going to give us some insights. Is it?
It has in the past. I look back at the last six meetings, and five of the last six are the days of the meeting minutes being released. Five of the last six times, it's been good for mortgage rates. Meaning the Fed minutes indicated greater weakness among, you know, the members as to their view on the economy, and only once did the minutes result in a price, MBS price drop. Sometimes they're volatile. I tried to see, you would think that the minutes following a meeting where there was a press conference ought to reveal less than in the times when there's not a press conference, but it hadn't been true. I mean, it's been just about even. I mean, so just leave that to say, you should be able to expect some volatility on Wednesday.
Yeah, that's for sure. Then, of course, Jolt's report, that's tomorrow. That's going to be an interesting number, especially after Friday's non-farm payroll number. We'll be paying close attention to that one. That could be interesting.
That, and then jobless claims comes out on Thursday, and then we have, you know, the Treasury auctions, including the 10-year auction, coming out this week. The 10-year auction's on Wednesday. So,
that's right.
Other than that, it's fairly light month, fairly light week. So I think the minute's going to be the big event this week.
Yeah, that and possibly the Jolts report. So it'd be real, real, real interesting. Joe, thank you so much. Appreciate you bringing the update. And folks, you need to check out the website if you haven't already. I preach it all the time. MBS Quote Line, easiest thing for me to sell and get excited about. Concise, we need for those of us, most of us that are market watchers, gives us most of what we need. So, folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS Quoteline delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur. Get MBS prices as trades happen. Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock-float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect. And know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS Quoteline, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS Quoteline today at MBSQuoteLine.com. MBSQuoteLine.com. 646-716-4972. The Lickin on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lickin.
Good to have you with us, everybody. We are glad to have Paul Mallow on this on the call with us right now. He's tracking all the major news stories going on and up and down. I wanted to ask you, Paul, last week when we talked briefly, we talked about... I just got to turn your mic on. Forgot that. We talked
that
briefly
help.
That you had already heard. That would help, yes. Yeah, if you want to have the last word, just make sure you have hold of the button that has the mic turn on or the mute button. You talked about how you had reported about possibility of the rumors you had heard or reported on even the week before the tech conference, and maybe you were the source of that. The rumors are running around about the possibility of a delay. But Nick, is that you that released that story, or any thoughts on that?
Well, you know, we've been writing about it, and one of our competitors has as well. Right now, the agency doesn't seem to be willing to give these guys any more time. It's been how many months? I lost track. It's in one of our stories. It's multiple. It's over a year easily.
It's 20.
And so right now the agency... You know, if anyone there is hinting there's going to be an increase in time or an extension, they're really namby-pamby about it. You know, there's a lot of vendors out there who are, you know, rolling out products for this, and they've spent a lot of time, and it's part of their business model because it's good for them because it's new software. They need to be compliant. You have to get their software, their products. So it's good for the vendors in a way, obviously. But, you know, and they're ready to go, or at least most of them should be ready to go, because if they're not ready to go, their competitors are ready to go. And it's going to be a huge advantage to someone who's ready versus someone who's not ready, at least on the vendor side. So, you know, I haven't seen anything solid yet, and I wasn't at the MBA Tech Show, that the agency is going to delay it. But at the same time, you know... In the past, they have been, shall we say, understanding if someone doesn't quite make the deadline or, you know, and they're going to go easy on any violations. I think that might be the message, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see. You know, it's, you know, CFPB isn't exactly, shall we say, friends to the industry. So,
that's not exactly right. You know, I found them to be very amenable to answer the questions and work with them. I can't wait to Ken's on hold listening to all this, and Ken Marcus said we'll have him on in the Hot Topics segment, so we'll get some more perspective on that. And but I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. But I also want to turn to, I think the Jumbo MBS issuance hit a post-crisis high. That I thought was in the first quarter. That was a little surprise.
Yeah, it's, you know, yeah. I mean, listen, Redwood, one of the biggest players in that market, wasn't real active. And, mm-hmm. and you know, they keep saying basically that, you know, execution for whole loans is wonderful. And but, you know, there's a lot of banks out there who've been looking at this business who, you know, have done a couple deals like JPM. And, you know, they want to get this machine rolling. And even though they do better with whole loans or letting this stuff sit on their books and make, you know, a nice little fat spread over their cost of funds, you know,
yeah,
I think they're starting to see that the day is coming where, you know, non-agency MBS is going to be more significant than it has been. But, listen, these are paltry numbers. I mean, you know, as Brandon wrote in his story, $4.6 billion in the quarter is, you know, laughable. But compared to, you know, the post-crash days, it's a fairly good number. So, you know, it's a squirrely time for the industry. I mean, let's face it. And the second story is sort of nice in a way because it shows that, you know, there's a lot of small to medium-sized lenders who are doing quite fine. Thank you very much. And we quote, you know, a couple of them in the story, including Premier Nationwide Lending down in San Antonio. They're not a big lender. But, you know, they did $155 million in March. But in January, they did $68 million. So that's, you know, that's a nice little bump up. We've talked to a few more like that. And there's a couple more lenders who I can't disclose who've also reported, you know, some really nice gains. None of these guys are the mega banks per se, and everyone knows the mega banks have been ceding market share. You know, it's going to be an interesting year. I think the general feeling is volumes will be better in 2015 than 14. Not significantly better, but, you know, guys are starting to feel positive in a way. The third story is also very interesting. NationStar Mortgage sold through auction.com some non-performing loans. And I didn't know about this until I saw the story this morning from Brandon. But, you know, they found a buyer, Trumont Capital Advisors, who won the bid. And then they basically said, oh, we're not going to sell. They didn't like the price. We're working on a follow-up to that. I don't know how you put loans up for auction. You get a winning bidder, and you're like, we're not going to sell them after all. I guess there's some real details on that one. Interesting story. Also, there's one out there that George Brooks said about Ed Golding's appointment to the FHA chief position, FHA commissioner. Apparently some senators are looking at it a little funny. He was appointed in such a way that Golding is restricted from issuing final rules or notices of funding availability. He also can endorse mortgages for insurance that exceed $50 million, such as loans for hospitals and multifamily. I'm not sure what that's about. I think we're going to look at that a little more. Also, the Ginnie Mae issuance numbers, the applications are way down. So that's sort of interesting as well. Short take,
I thought that
big
was
story.
Really
Navy Federal did $1 billion in March in origination. That's a record for the company, and they have one of the most fascinating products out there. This 100% financing, no money down, fixed rate loan with no MI. And they did, it's called Home Buyer's Choice, and they did $179 million in loans in that product alone. Great March for that company. They're huge in the Washington, D.C. area. You know, I said it was fixed. I'm not sure if it is fixed. It is 100% financing. Maybe it is an arm of some sorts. Well, they didn't have a lot of detail in their small press release, but, you know, big numbers for them. And so that's all the highlights today.
Good stuff. I mean, I always like it. I thought it was interesting, the story that you wrote about when you were looking. Was it it was Brandon again wrote the story about Nations. What's the one about Premier? No, that was your story. Yeah, I thought it was yours. It was the wholesale division that done so well. I think there's a real sense that wholesale is starting to make a resurgence again in a bigger way. And so we're seeing a lot of, you know, banks are purposefully, you know, letting go of market share, and we're seeing a resurgence of some brokers. And so that's something that we've been seeing within our consulting firm is people contacting us, hey, I think I want to start my own firm. I don't know what size it should be. And so it's just really fascinating. There's been an upswing in that. So
we crunch the numbers every quarter, and the broker market share has been inching up. You know, it's still, you know, let me think here. I think in the fourth quarter it was 10% of market share brokers had through table funding. And the previous couple quarters it was 9.3, 9.4, 9. So it's on the upswing. Again, it looks like, you know, the depositories are ceding market share, just, you know, either intentionally or they're not as nimble and they're not competing very well. So that's maybe Ken can talk about that more, but I would assume he's seen that in some of his members.
Well, it's good to have you with us, Paul. Appreciate you taking time out of your busy life there and being a part of the broadcast. Thank you so much.
Great.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Always fun.
Bye-bye.
That's always a pleasure. Talk to you soon. Alice Alvey, give me an update. We give our listeners an update on what's going on as it relates to the regulatory world. I thought it would be good that you, in anticipation of the TRID talk, I think it's great that we have something that you kind of do a little bit of a lead in on that. So, and here's Alice.
Oh, thanks, Dave. Yeah, I think it would help, right? Since we're going to have Ken on to talk in detail about the TRID, that maybe in my segment here we kind of walk through some of the basics and things that we're hearing that are going on today that are still a challenge. So, in the rule itself, I think what everybody needs to be aware of is fundamentally we're starting with needing to pay more attention to the when does the rule even apply, right? Right at the very beginning, TILA has always been that closed-end consumer credit transaction secured by real property, and that consumer credit transaction is one that's, you know, for primarily for personal, family, or household purpose. So as a lender, that's a policy to set. How am I going to move forward with when does the rule apply? Am I just going to make it across the board? Am I going to try and manage business purpose? How am I going to handle that? The rule itself has, you know, some variances with different business days. It tightens up the application date a little bit different. So you've probably heard a little bit already about the differences in pre-qualification and how to handle pre-approval. Probably one of the most recent changes is the CFPB came out this week with their new toolkit, which is supposed to replace, or I'm not supposed to, but will replace the special info booklets. So, you know, got to find the light at the end of the tunnel here. This info booklet today is 71 pages, and the new booklet's going to be 25. I call that a win. So we now have to make sure, again, the loan officers know what's in the booklet so they can make sure they're explaining it to customers properly, and I think it'll be a little bit easier to work with. The other components in the rule that people are watching is, obviously, you think about the timing requirements. I've got to get a new loan estimate out, which is now basically the TIL as well. So all those timing requirements change a little bit. And one of our biggest challenges being with the closing disclosure and how are we going to get the information from the title companies. So another component in the rule is the three-day waiting period that has a lot of people worried. It is way past the time to be talking to the title industry and your realtors about this so that they understand what your flow may be. And our big question today is, how are lenders going to work out that exchange of information? There's been some talk about, you know, sharing a MISMO format, but that's a lot of data you might not need. And is there going to be a group of data that can be just what the title companies and lenders need within that file? And then how do I manage the integrity of that data back and forth between us? So, you know, as a lender, I am the one now issuing that final closing disclosure. It's no longer this certification by the title company of disbursement. So another layer that comes in with the rule for lenders is to think about, all right, I'm going to have some supplemental documents with a closing disclosure. I'm going to need something, hopefully standardized by ALTA, which they are talking about, some kind of standard disbursement, you know, authorization. I certify I have disbursed the loan in the conditions that terms and conditions the lender has said, because that's what the HUD 1 does today, but the closing disclosure will no longer be that form because it's going out completed to the borrower. It's not just solely, it's not representing disbursement any longer or solely disbursement. So we'll have that supplement to the CD, and we'll also have the supplement for tolerance calculations because the closing disclosure only has totals. So as we kind of look at the A to Z process, it's beyond form replacement. It's procedural changes throughout everything. And so that's just kind of teeing it up for folks here. Dave, I'm going to let you jump in if you have any questions for me on things you think folks might want to know before we get into talking with Ken about the latest update.
I think this is good. I think one of the things I'm going to be most interested in hearing about is what guidance, because there's been a lack. There's some areas still that I think CFPB could provide some more guidance on. And I'm hoping we can get into that part of the discussion with Ken. And I know he's real close to that situation, as you know. So it'll be good. I think we're going to save as much time before we go on. Instead of going on any more longer here, I think we'll bring all that up in the Hot Topic segment. But thank you so much, Alice. Good stuff. Anything to be concerning about and that we should be looking at in the short term that's toxic on the calendar?
I think the main thing, other than, you know, if you have to take your eyes off of compliance, is certainly the FHA handbook. We're waiting to see if we'll get an extension. We, you know, MBA has put together some tools. We have some as well that will show you the list of the regulatory, of the changes within the 4,000. And there are some. There are some absolute frontline originators need to know basic underwriting policies that are changing with the FHA handbook that will be effective June 15th, and that, frankly, is right around the corner. So that would be the next heads up for everybody. Watch for your changes in FHA, and we're happy to help you with that.
Good stuff. Excellent, Alice. Appreciate you being a part of the broadcast. You give us so much information all the time. Can't wait to have you participating there with us in a minute. In the Hot Topic segments. Well, that's a little more than a minute. We've got a few more segments to get to before we go there. But we'll be right back, folks, right after this brief break.
If you have questions about mortgage regulations, Indicom Mortgage U has free answers. If you need ideas about how to reinvent your organization, Indicom Mortgage U will share great ideas. When you need help at any step of the loan process, give us a call or send an email. The Indicom team of experts have been helping mortgage players from origination through servicing for over 30 years. Your success is our focus. Whether it's a quick question or long-term support, portfolio, conventional, or government lending, it's a competitive market. So let Indicom Mortgage U give you the edge.
Good to have you with us, everybody. Let's get over to Sam Garcia. Then we're going to get to the Profit Doctor and then to the Hot Topic segment. So, Sam, let's get off started with you talking about some of that. Paul already touched on the Navy Federal Credit Union. I thought that was our big story. And I think it's something that you cover a little bit more, the fact that's what's going on in the whole market as far as it relates to credit unions. We're seeing a lot more credit union activity than I recall seeing in previous cycles. Your thoughts?
Well, it's interesting because we were able to get the, pull the mortgage employment numbers last week from that employment report. Mm-hmm. And we did show a little bit of a bump in non-bank employment. And we also had an estimate of approximately 566,800 people in mortgage lending as of February using the Department of Labor's numbers. But while non-banks have grown about 2% on a year-over-year basis, federally insured banks have lost about 16% of the mortgage-related jobs based on our estimate. And then at credit unions, we've seen that they actually slipped 3% from February of last year to February of this year. So, yeah, not as much of a drop as the banks. But if we look at more recent numbers, I remember that we've seen that the more recent quarters have been busier for credit unions. So we've seen a little bit of a pickup more recently.
Yeah.
Mortgage market index, which we put out last week based on data from Optimal Blue, it was down 9% from the previous week. So activity slowed ahead of Easter, basically, to be expected. ARM activity took the biggest hit. It was down 11%. And refinances were down 10%. We went ahead and published a story about agency mortgage-backed security issuance and on MBS issued on behalf, fixed-rate MBS issued on behalf of the three companies, jumped 13% between February and March. Turned out to be the strongest month in agency issuance since September 2013. So last month, real busy for the three agencies. We see that Mortgage Bankers Association put out their profit report for production. And one of the shares we were able to pull out of there, which I know you're always interested in, was that the closing rate in the fourth quarter was 74%. So that's based on the Mortgage Bankers Survey of independent mortgage bankers and subsidiaries of banks. And net production income for all of last year, it was 34 basis points, tumbling from 61 basis points the prior year. FHA put out its monthly production information, and we saw that January residential endorsements were off 1% from December. But what was more interesting was that total applications for FHA residential business soared to 134,000 applications from just 79,000 the prior month. So that's pointing to a pretty good increase in the first quarter for FHA business based on their own application information. Home equity conversion mortgage production last month was 2% lower than it was in February. It was a second consecutive monthly decline for HECM business. And last month's biggest HECM lender was American Advisors. Bankruptcies? Yeah, yeah. Bankruptcies, there were 81,600 or so bankruptcies during March, and that was quite a bit higher than the 65,000 that were filed the prior month. So a little bit of a blip there for bankruptcy filings. In fact, it turned out to be the biggest month for bankruptcy filings since May 2014. We saw that HUD put out disclosed some mortgagee actions today, nearly 100 of them. HUD reported that 17 mortgagees faced civil money penalties, withdrawals of FHA approval, suspensions, probations, reprimands, and administrative payments. Another 11 failed to meet deadlines for annual recertification, and 68 didn't meet the recertification requirements. There were some layoffs and that are tied to the merger of the Federal Home Loan Bank of Seattle and the Federal Home Loan Bank of Des Moines. It looks like it'll turn out to be about 109 people lose their job as a result of that. And the last thing we had here was that Bank of America last week settled a couple of lawsuits tied to the Taylor Bean debacle. The case is centered around Bank of America's role as an intermediary between note investors and Ocala Funding, which was used to be a unit of Taylor Bean. And we don't have the terms of those settlements, but another one put behind it. So, and that pretty much wraps up the news for the highlights for this last week.
Thank you so much, Sam. Appreciate it. Check out what Sam has to say at his article and at his website, mortgagedaily.com, or you can email Sam at samgarcia@mortgagedaily.com or call him 214-521-1300. Appreciate you, Sam. Have a great rest of the week. Look forward to having you back next week. Good stuff.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
You bet. You bet. Let's head on over to the Prophet Doctor. Always fun to hear the Prophet Doctor. He's in the house. He's sharing his pearls of wisdom for us today. Prophet Doctor, Andy Schell.
Hey, Dave.
What you got?
So I guess if the credit union's jobs didn't fall as much as the commercial bank jobs, that means they rose. That's government. That's government think for you. I've actually heard people make that
government argument
on C-SPAN. They talk about, you know, it didn't fall as much as the other one, so it's actually improved.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm not sure what school of economics they go to for that, but anyway, it's kind of interesting.
So we got to start the segment off, Dave, by asking the question. Today's April the 6th. Do you have your P&L? I can tell you that our bookkeeping customers have their numbers now. So is your accounting system able to generate those numbers? Did you make your gain on sale numbers? Do you know? How do you know?
Good.
Did you track it? Did you reconcile it? So get that stuff ready. There's an announcement in the Weiner-Brodsky Financial Services update that came out about an FTC proposal that's going to affect the data security requirements for mortgage lenders and mortgage servicers. And this is just an ongoing process where data management is just top of mind for the regulators, protecting consumers' data from being hacked, whatever, stolen, identity theft. So this is never going to go away. And in the midst of a TRID launch, we also have to keep mindful of our data security management as a whole and make sure we keep that stuff up to date. And with the new TRID implementation, if we have an interface with our accounting system, which during the last webinar that we taught, Dave, that we asked the polling question, how many people did have an automated interface? And something of the order of 85% of the people used an automated interface.
Interesting.
So what that means is that those data fields that are in the closing area that come across to populate for the final HUD that feed into accounting, if those move around or change and the things that they were are now something different, you got to go back and check that stuff. Got to verify our interfaces, make sure with the TRID that it really works. And Alice said something to me Alice said something on the show that resonated to me, that if I were the owner of a mortgage company, I'd be shaking in my boots, because she said the new trend is not just the new forms, it's procedures, new ways of doing things from start to finish. And if we've ever been involved with training and origination team, we know it takes more than one class because nobody attends just the first class, and then it takes
Absolutely,
two classes,
yeah.
and they still don't attend. And after five classes, maybe they remember what you said in the first 10 minutes because they are on their iPad playing pool. So getting people up to speed and understanding these new procedures that Al is talking about needs to be the forefront of our thought, even though it's still, you know, 5 months away. And don't expect it to be extended. Don't listen to the rumors. Be ready in August and start your training. Get a hold of Alice. Figure out how to do that, because changing the way an organization does what it does is a very significant, huge undertaking. It's more than just the forms. It's how you do it. Don't lose focus.
Yes.
On there you go, Dave. That's all I have.
Good.
Unless you have something
you
else
got
to
it.
Talk about.
Oh, I could have you talk about it. I got a lot of questions, but we got to save some time for Ken Markison here in just a minute. But it's good stuff. By the way, I just want to say, to tell everyone, you've become kind of a rock star there with the MBA's educational department, because you're putting together some really good stuff, and you got two more coming up. So just give us a little tease on what the other couple events that are topics again.
You know, in the midst of having our new TRID, there are other CFPB mandates. These are non-optional requirements that have been launched on mortgage companies. One is called a compliance management system. It's not a computer system. It's a process by which we follow all the rules and know that we follow the rules and test to make sure we follow the rules. And we're going to talk all about how to launch, manage, maintain, implement a compliance management system. And then part of that also is third-party management, which has been out now for over 2 years, and it's actually 3 years now. It came out in March of 12. So for 3 years now, we have been required to change the way that we deal with our vendors. We have to have certain provisions in the service level agreements with our vendors, in the contracts we have with our vendors. The CFP mandates, there's very specific language, and we're still talking to people that are still trying to figure out how to just even risk weight a vendor, much less implement the changes. So we're going to do a webinar through MBA Education. Go to MBA.org, click on Education. It's one of the webinars on how to implement the third-party management requirements, because you got enough to worry about already, just keeping your volume up, getting your loans closed, worrying about TRID, all these new rules. You know, we're going to show you how to do it so you can just follow our guidelines and get it done. That's what's coming up in June.
Good. Excellent. Lots of good stuff. Appreciate you being with us, folks. We're going to be right back after this brief break. We've got Ken Markison of the MBA talking about TRID readiness. Lots of great information. Are you ready? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success,
Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Good to have you with us, everybody. It's so much fun to be a part of this, of a way of you getting all the information, and we're so honored to have the long list of guests that come on here each and every week to talk about all that's going on. One of those guests who we've had on before is Ken Markison. He's the Vice President and Regulatory of counsel. Now, he's got several hats he wears around there. All I know is he's got the title of VNG, very nice guy. So we also add to the end of his title and all his letters and all the distinguished things he has, VNG, very nice guy. We appreciate him taking time to be with us. Joe Farr, I've got your mic back on. Ken, I just turned on your mic, so make sure we're alive here. I want to say this.
Sure.
Ken has got a distinguished, you got quite a distinguished career, 32 years at the Office of General Counsel at HUD. And then also you got your law degree at Georgetown University, and you have worked tirelessly on behalf of many of us in the industry, the entire industry, and we're just honored to have you on here. So thank you so much for your work, your commitment, Ken, to all that's going on. In fact, this stuff that's going on, you got all the attorneys. Now, you have pulled off, I think, the most miraculous thing in the world. You've gotten every attorney, every competitor to come together and put together the compliance essentials. You have put together some of the most powerful material. And so I don't know how you pulled that off, but so you've got to have a lot of politician in you somewhere along with all that legal stuff. So it's good to have you here, friend.
Well, thank you. Thanks very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be back here and to join you and the other folks on the call. This is it really has been a very challenging few years, but most of all for our lender members. And what we've been trying to do with Compliance Essentials and some of the other activities we'll talk about is give as much guidance as we possibly can through the best vehicles we can, which of course includes the legal community that serves MBA.
Well, kudos to you, Ken, for pulling together that group. It's a good group. And I got a chance to sit with you this last year at one of the conferences around a round table. You invited me to be there, and it was just really impressive how you got them all together. And it's fun to see how they all get along. And so here I was sitting with a whole room full of attorneys and just enjoying the dialogue. Great group of folks. I want to talk about last week's tech conference and what you were there attending, and I just want to hear what is some of the chatter at the conference that you heard, and it's specific to TRID.
Yeah, well, I think you'll recall, and it was brought up earlier on the show, there had been a few articles that had come out from the trade press, and they indicated based on Deputy CFPB Director Antonakis's comments at another conference for another trade association that the Bureau was focused on vendor readiness, and in that connection might be thinking about extending the date for TRID. You can imagine what reverberations this had. I know you were well aware of it.
Yeah.
And at the TRID conference, I'm sorry, at the tech conference.
The tech conference. Yeah, it'd be a bit more like a TRID conference.
It became the TRID conference. At the tech conference, the issue of vendor readiness became a sub-theme. And it's clear that vendors are working hard on this rule. We've known that for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
It's also clear that there are enormous challenges. I mean, this is, to the point that was raised earlier, a big challenge. It's a big challenge in terms of business processes. It's a big challenge in terms of software. But technology, in a very large sense, is going to have to answer a lot of the requirements with dynamic forms, with communication tools between lender and title, which Alice was talking about. There are tons of challenges, and the rules themselves go well beyond technology, but it's a key piece. And what we were hearing is people are deep into it, but some of the deliveries will not happen until June, and there'll still be a need for customization by individual companies. So there's a lot to do. Ahead.
Yeah. I think that's the thing, is there's a lot yet to do, and the NBA has been in the forefront of this. So I appreciate the fact that the tech conference kind of became the trend conference, or a sub very big sub,
right.
Sub headline of the whole conference. But if you could fill our listeners in some of what the NBA is doing to help, Ken, that I don't know that everyone's aware
right.
Of all that you guys are doing there.
Well, I mean, this conference was emblematic, I think, of some of the involvement we've had at individual conferences. We had two sessions on TRID, meetings on TRID, as well as a super session with a very large panel of experts to answer member comments. But that was just the tech conference. We've dedicated a day at the Legal Issues Conference, which you mentioned at the beginning, on May 3rd in Chicago, which will be a forum on TRID. And what it really is the sixth in a series of forums that we've been having through the winter with, in this case, the American Land Title Association, that have provided us and our members an opportunity to look closely at each step in the process, from pre-app to closing disclosure to the forms and interrelationships across the industry, to break down all the issues and in the course of a day consider them, and not only consider issues but hear about real-life solutions that
yeah.
lenders and title providers are doing. These forums have been enormously successful. We're actually having one in D.C. next week, which is sold out.
No, really?
And
really?
We had one in
Not
Chicago.
Surprising.
Well, what we've done, David, though, is we've arranged for video streaming in real
oh,
time
wow.
of these conferences.
Good.
And that's available on both the 16th and May 3rd. We're scheduling another forum in June, and we should have an announcement on that shortly. We've also, to your point about our work with law firms, we've worked with two firms, Rich Andriano of Ballard Spahr, Rich Horn with Dentons, to come up with a compliance essentials volume to take you through the requirements of TRID, how to fill out the forms. But what's different about this product is to the comments about a compliance management system, the Bureau's looking for strong policies and procedures around complying. These volumes include a set of model policies and procedures that can be adapted by companies. They also include checklists. That volume has really, I think, satisfied many members' needs, and it's selling extremely well. We're planning to have a webinar very shortly to walk through the volume, and we'll also be offering updates. I think the other piece is that in addition to the forums, we're planning webinars for the summer, and not to just have folks think that we're only focused on education. We're going to,
right.
We have been spending a lot of time on advocating answers to questions before the CFPB, and we're laser focused on that now.
Yeah, they sure could provide a little bit more guidance. They're trying hard, but the more you dig into things, it just you gain more questions. I want to get the mic over to Joe Farr, and I know he's got a couple questions, or at least some questions or comments. Joe?
Well, yeah, I'd say there's a lot going on, but what more do you need from the industry to help this go smoothly?
Well, I think the industry is working hard. I think to David's point, we could use some more help, I think, from the government in terms of answers to key questions. Let me give you, for instance, it's not clear to what extent changes can be made in a closing disclosure when a deal, for whatever reason, outside the borrower's control or the lender's control, falls through. That is, the home's flooded, there's some fire damage. This unfortunately happens, but the rule doesn't provide answers on what the next steps are and could be to not only serve the borrower's needs, but also acknowledge the additional costs that come out of, say, an additional inspection or even changes in the rate structure of the loan. We need to have a better set of guidance on that. I think when you look at the outstanding questions, there aren't one or two or three. There are many. And each organization seems to have its own list, and we're spending a lot of time getting those lists together. Let me suggest, though, that a couple of weeks ago, MBA, along with, I think, 15 other trade associations, sent a letter to the CFPB that, to the point that was raised earlier, requested a grace period on enforcement and liability in the early going of this rule. I think with all of these questions yet unanswered, and with the challenges that have been facing vendors and lenders, that makes perfect sense. The rule did not allow lenders, for example, to test the forms. You can't really do that until August 1. There are a lot of questions that are hanging fire, and when you put it all together, the government, we hope, will help with a soft landing, so to speak. I think the important point here is not to spend time with gotchas, but time to help all of those in the industry who are working in good faith to get this done.
Ken, has there been a reaction to that?
They indicate they're considering it and considering the landscape, but we haven't heard a specific answer.
Alice, let's get over to you. I want to toss the mic in your lap here.
Hi, Ken. It's great to have you on the show. And
it's,
you know,
great to speak to you.
Yeah, thanks. So how about Alta? You know, there's a big component of this where we have to work very closely with closing agents, in particular the title industry. So what kind of update can you give us from MBA? I mean, is MBA working with Alta to help kind of come up with some guidance on standardization for exchanging the information back and forth? Because, you know, this certainly falls into multiple categories. You have the companies with the high-tech capabilities. You have mid-tech companies that are just completely reliant on their LOS vendor, and then you've got no tech. So what role is MBA playing in trying to get some coordination and information with Alta?
Well, as I was indicating before, this set of forums, and it's our second set, but these six forums that we've had since January 29th and going into May and June, are all co-sponsored with Alta. And we've had a very strong title escrow component of folks participating. It's been clear at the sessions that the problem of communicating in real time between title and lender is a big challenge about this rule, particularly when it seems clear that a very large number of lenders have elected to issue the closing disclosure. That, as you know, turns the tables such that the title person has got to help the lender populate the form rather than the way it works today, where usually the lender is sending information only to title to have title issue the forms. This is a big deal. It turns out that there are several companies that are working on this, and we've been spending a lot of energy showcasing those companies for the purpose of letting our lenders know exactly what the choices are. I would expect that at legal issues, certainly next week in D.C., there will be even more information on that. I can't urge it too much that people listen in on these forums, or better yet, come there and get some of this information.
It's very, very huge. Andy, let's get a couple questions in from you.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for being on the show. It's great to hear your pearls of wisdom as we deal with this very significant transition and the deployment of TRID. Appreciate all you and the MBA are doing to help get people up to speed. So as we look back after all that's happened in this short 20 months, was it enough?
Well, I wish I could say it was. No, I don't think it was. At the time, I guess the rule was finalized in November of 13. And the sense, I think, then was that the January mortgage rules would be implemented in January of 14. Well, as you know, it really didn't work that way. An enormous amount of resources in the industry were spent throughout 14 on the mortgage rules, whether it was by vendors or companies or actually both. And the dynamic left, I think, little time in real terms for the industry to shift gears to TRID. As I said at the beginning, and as I know the listeners know, this is a big rule. And for it to come on the heels of the mortgage rule, and considering all the questions that it raises, 20 months is challenging. And I think you really have to think about it in the terms that we've all learned about to come to that.
Yeah,
and
great.
And by the way, I think, yeah. I mean, if I may, August 1 will begin the beginning of the implementation. It won't be the end of the implementation at all. There are just too many challenges.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's
it. But the penalty clock potentially starts, and that's the risk.
Yes.
And And you're the risk doctor. You're the profit doctor, which means you're the risk doctor. So you're always paying attention to that. That penalty is unless they specifically say they're not going to, or that they're going to give some grace and mercy, which is almost like saying they're delaying it, even though they're not. We're at risk, and so that's how everyone has to assume it. Ken, I just want to again say thank you so much for coming on. Tell everyone
thanks so much
there at
for
the
having
NBA.
Me.
Oh, it's any time, Ken. And you pick up the phone. I'm so glad that Jeff Schumacher reached out to me and suggested we have you on. Be sure to say hi to Jeff and David and everyone there at the NBA. You guys are doing such an amazing job on behalf of our industry. And I just got to tell you, I don't think everyone appreciates it. And I just really am a big advocate on people getting involved with the NBA, understand what's going on and say, well, yeah, but it costs so much or it's this or that. Well, you know what? Getting results sometimes costs a little money. And so if you're serious about being in this industry, you got to get serious about participating and get involved in these conferences, these forums that are going in there. Get involved. I've never heard anyone say, boy, that was a waste of time when I went to D.C. It never is, because you feel like you're making a difference. So, again, thank you to Ken for so much for being here.
Very
good to have
well
you with us, everybody.
David.
You are appreciated, and everyone there. Thank you, sir. We will be back next week with another good broadcast, lots of good information. We're working on a couple of things right now. I want to hear from you, the listeners. We do this for you, so let us know what you're wanting us to cover on the broadcast. Any special guests? Our radio program has enough listeners. We're very fortunate and able to get a lot of different guests on here. We'd love to have you back. I'm focusing on the economy because I'm looking at some of these numbers. We're reaching out to Logan Motoshami again. He's got some great perspective. Also going to get the Mike Frattantoni on from the NBA. Lots of different ones. So if you have some material you would like to see us cover, get a hold of us. Love to hear from you. Have a great week, everybody. I'm off to Philadelphia for the rest of the week, and I'll be on Fox Business tomorrow night if you want to watch that. We're talking about some of the latest government programs. Talk to you soon, everyone. Have a great week. Bye.
This has been Lickin on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.